Welcome to Melt University's 2020 summer program. This year, our virtual intern program will help you build your brand, inform you on a variety of career paths, and introduce you to top executives in sports and marketing. Here's your host, President and CEO of Melt, one of the largest independent sports and event marketing agencies in the country, Vince Thompson.
Welcome, students, back to another podcast for virtual Melt University summer 2020. We've gotten off to a tremendous start, some tremendous and knowledgeable guests. And today's guest not only is a dear friend of mine, a true rising pioneer in the world of sports, and I'll tell you why in just a moment, and becoming a very dear friend of mine. And so this is going to be a guy that you're going to want to know, and you're going to want to contact, and you're going to want to network with, and you're going to want to be in business with, because he is literally at the forefront of so many things that are going on. My friend Jason Belzer is a global sports business leader. He's the president of Game Inc., which is a company which focuses on connecting his coaching clients to new and emerging opportunities in the space. There are many. He's the co-founder and publisher of a great publication called Athletic Director U. And if you haven't heard of it, or if you have, it is a must-go-to, must-read source for the sports industry, particularly in the collegiate space. You can learn anything you want to learn about college and college sports. They have a job posting ticker, and it is must-read for me every day. So you got to make sure you sign up for Athletic Director U. Jason is committed to education. He teaches sports business and management at his alma mater, Rutgers University, where he also received a bachelor's and a JD degree, Juris Doctor, MBA, University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. He was named in 2015 a Synopsis Media Rising Star, and he reminds me of a younger version of myself, if I do say so, hungry, hustler, and I use that term respectfully, willing to take risks, willing to put himself out there. And I think that you're going to find a lot of tremendous value in the things that he's doing. We're going to talk a lot today about name, image, and likeness for student athletes, which is something that both he and I are very passionate about, where there may be areas of career growth and development for you. So, Jason, welcome to virtual Melt University. We've got hundreds of kids signed up, and we're so honored and grateful that you've decided to join us today.
Thank you for having me, Vince. A very humbling introduction, and might have to have my wife listen to that once in a while so she knows who she's living with, how important of a person she has in her house.
Well, I can vouch for the importance that you have in the industry. I can vouch for the impact that you're having in the industry, and I can vouch for the future impact that you are going to have in the industry, and have been a big supporter of what we're doing at Melt, what we're doing at Melt University. So let's sort of step back for a minute and really begin to sort of trace the origins of your career and how and why you decided to choose sports as a career and as a profession and something that you wanted to commit your innovation and your life to. Talk about sort of what led you into this path.
Sure. So I'm probably one of the younger people that you're going to have on the podcast. I'm only 33. So I grew up in New Jersey, and I played sports, ran track, played some football, had an opportunity to go to college as a Division I athlete. And I wasn't really interested in working in the sports business initially. When I went to Rutgers, I was declared as an aerospace engineering major. I wanted to be a rocket scientist, actually. And along the way, I realized that while I enjoyed engineering, I realized I could potentially even have a career in sports. That's what changed. I didn't really know you could work in the sports business if you weren't a professional athlete, which I didn't really have an opportunity to become. And so I was really, really good at understanding the collegiate landscape, maybe just because I was an athlete, but also because I loved college football and college basketball. And interestingly enough, The year going into college, I actually almost ended up winning Yahoo's bracket challenge. So they have $1 million bracket challenge when you fill it out for the NCAA tournament, and I finished in the top five. Almost ended up winning $1 million.
Who was your spoiler?
Well, I had everything. I had the final four correct. It basically came down to getting the right teams in the second and third round. But that was the year that UConn won the national championship with Emeka Okafor. So about 16, 17 years ago now.
Yeah, I think it was 04. It was 04, 05.
Yeah, yeah. So if I had won, maybe I would be being an aerospace engineering major or living on an island somewhere with that money. But, you know, I went on an interview in college at a sports marketing agency. Had no idea what I was doing. They put an ad in the paper at Rutgers. I went in completely unprepared. And I was speaking to one of the agents there, and they asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, well, I kind of interested in maybe being a sports agent. And back then, there was really only one movie slash, piece of media about sports agents, and that was Jerry Maguire. And the agent asked, you know, you have to go to law school for that. And something clicked in my brain and said, wait a second, I can go to law school and work in sports. And to me, that seemed like an opportunity, one, to convince my parents to go into sports, because they thought if I was going to go work in the sports business, I was going to end up being a gym teacher. And I said, hey, no, I can actually be an attorney. I can do something useful and interesting in that profession. And so I ended up applying for a couple of internships while I was in college, got a chance to work at an agency in New York. And then when I got out, much like many of the people listening to this, the economy wasn't great, and sports was always a very highly competitive industry. And no one was looking to hire a 21-year-old fresh out of college to be a sports agent at their company. I didn't have a book of business, really. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to end up doing this myself. And I'm going to just put out my shingle, start my company, which at the time in 2008 was called Global Athlete Management Enterprises. Today we're just known as Game Inc. And I literally got on a plane, went to the Final Four, which was in San Antonio, Texas. It was the same year that all four number one seeds made the tournament and the Final Four. So it was a lot of blue. I think it was Memphis, Kansas, UCLA, and UNC. And I took my best suit and I stood outside the convention center where Vince was probably putting on some sort of great event, and we didn't know each other. And I just was handing out business cards to anybody that I could meet, including any coach that walked through that door. And I remember camping out at the coach's hotel and just walking up and having conversations with people. And I still remember to this day, Tom Crean had just been named the head coach at Indiana at the time, walked through the doors of the hotel. I think it was maybe the Sheraton or the Marriott. And I just happened to be the first one standing there, and I was in my suit, and he walks up to me and he shakes my hand and he says, it's nice to meet you. I'm the new head coach at, you know, the University of Indiana. And I just laughed. I was like, holy crap. If this guy's introducing himself to me, then this is going to be easy. And so I literally built the practice from scratch, signed one client and then another and then another. But as I was building my business, it took a while, right? You have to build a book of business. You have to build relationships. I decided to go to law school and get my law degree because I wanted to be the best agent out there. And so I said, I have to have the strongest, unique value proposition. I have to have everything going for me when I go walk and talk to a client. And so I enrolled in law school, and I didn't really put a ton of effort into law school. It still requires a considerable amount of effort,
right?
But I was very busy building my business. And in fact, I remember at Rutgers Law School, some of the classes for the first year are kind of below ground, and I didn't have great cell phone service. So I would pay the security guard the front of the building to take my cell phone. I'd give him $10 an hour. And when I was in class, he would answer the phone and pretend to be my secretary and say that Jason was in a meeting and that he would call you back at his convenience. And so I figured every which way I could to build my brand and build relationships with people. And I was not focused on the money initially. I knew that was going to come. And it really took me 5 or 6 years before I gained enough traction to start bringing in profit you know, placing coaches. When I graduated college, I got an opportunity to go and be a professor at Rutgers. My then dean asked me to come back. And so I ended up becoming, as far as I know, the youngest adjunct at the university at the time. I was 24 years old. And I was teaching kids that were 21, 22. I have older students. I still have older students now in the grad program. So it provided me with a unique perspective because I was now suddenly teaching theory in organizational behavior and organizational strategy while representing coaches and being on the front lines of the business. And I got to see a different perspective than maybe anyone had ever had, being an agent and then teaching. And so I started writing, and I started writing for various outlets that I could find. And eventually somebody at Forbes magazine called me and said, "Hey, do you want to cover the sports business for us? We really like what you do." And I said, "Sure, why not? Just another thing to help build my brand." And so started writing for Forbes. If you go, as you're listening to this podcast, and type in the word sports agent into Google, or even sports industry, or sports sponsorship, anything related to the sports business, literally the first or second thing that will come up on your Google will be one of the articles that I wrote for Forbes magazine. That was very intentional, and I used the search engine optimization power of Forbes to be able to make my name be the first thing that anyone ever found when they typed in sports business, sports industry, sports sponsorship, whatever that is. And even years later, you would be surprised about the number of emails and calls that I get randomly from people, that it's just a continuous business generator for me. But I built a really strong brand at Forbes in terms of my writing and position in the business as somebody that could be a thought leader. And a couple of years ago, we parlayed that into Athletic Director U, which is now the number one read and consumed piece of media content in the college sports space. So pretty much anyone who's anyone in college sports, including people like Vince, read our content on a daily basis. And so I have really been able to leverage that to position myself for opportunities in college sports, but also to help my clients and get them opportunities. And so I went from being the youngest person in the business of being an agent to still being pretty much the youngest person operating in the business. I today represent over 70 coaches, of which about 40 of them are head coaches. I've negotiated over $100 million in active coaching contracts. And I have the largest diverse college sports coaching practice out there when it comes to men's and women's coaches in basketball and football. And again, all of this was, I had no connections, no relationships walking into the business. I just said, I'm going to go figure it out. I'm going to go hustle my way through the doors and do it as long as I need to until I have a breakthrough. And there was no particular one moment. It was all many, many little moments and lots of different efforts that led me to where I am today.
Well, first of all, let me say this. Wow. That your story is inspiring to me and to our listeners. It should be as equally inspiring. And you've given us a lot to unpack in this interview. One, let me tell you guys, Jason is also the best dressed sports marketer in the industry. I am very, very, very jealous of every time I see him. So what my point is that you only got one chance to make a great first impression. And when you're in Jason's presence, he has a presence. You feel the presence. He's engaged with you. He's not looking around. He's not on his phone. All of these small cues add up to large success. His story about Tom Crean, amazing. What does that tell you? He put his suit on, he had his business cards, and he parked himself in that lobby. I say the Final Four is like a tall person's convention because you sit in these hotels and it's like the land of the giants in there. So Jason's in there taking the shot. He's networking. And then let's talk about perseverance. Let's talk about the grind. Let's talk about the innovation. And let's talk about how Jason has built his brand. And Jason, that's one thing that that's going to emerge this summer with our kids. It's my book, Building Brand You, and how these kids have the tools in their hands, in their possession, to really begin the brand building process now. So let's step back and talk about the campus is the ultimate professional lab, and where do you see those opportunities? So I know I've thrown a lot back at you, but you personify what we're trying to get through to our students this summer at Virtual Melt University.
Sure. So, you know, I'll start at the top. You mentioned the being well-dressed. One of the things that I have two advanced degrees, I have two undergraduate degrees, and I would say that 99% of the things that I have read in my life are what has led me to success. So it's not the going to school, getting an MBA or a JD, it's the books that I've read. I've studied every single thing that you can imagine when it comes to business success and all of these things. But probably the most important thing that I study is human psychology. And when I mean human psychology, it's not just things like persuasion, it's things like how do you make an impression on people? One of the things that I did when I got into the business and still do is I've read pretty much every book you can imagine on being a pickup artist. And one of the things that you learn about pickup artists is this concept called peacocking. And peacocking is, as we know in the animal kingdom, you have the peacock with the beautiful feathers. And the more beautiful feathers the peacock has, the more mates it attracts. And it's a phenomenon that you see in across the animal kingdom with the birds or mammals or whoever else. And so when I walk into a room, I want to make sure that I am quote unquote peacocking, meaning I want everyone's attention to look at me. And it doesn't mean being loud and obnoxious. It means looking good. Robert Greene, who's a very famous author who wrote an amazing book, many amazing books, but one of them being The 48 Laws of Power, talks about a similar concept. One of the 48 Laws of Power is enter with boldness. And that means that when you walk into a room, you walk into any situation, you want to be the center of attention. And so that's important because that first impression that you make with somebody is going to be the impression that they're going to have of you for a very, very long time. And so you have to back up that impression once you have a conversation and they learn about you and all of those things, which obviously I've strived to do. But first impressions are very important. But to look at it at a higher level, one of the philosophies that I have had in my entire life, if you were going to sum up my success and how I have been able to do what I've been able to do, is this concept of act as if. And there's two parts to it, but we'll start with the first. Act as if means when I was in this business, when I got in and I was 21 years old and I started to sign clients, I knew that I had to sit in front of those people and act as if I was the best sports agent in the world. It didn't matter the fact that I was 21 and I had just graduated college and I didn't have any experience. I needed to know and act as if I knew every single thing that a person 20 years my senior would have, right? And so that is my first piece of advice to people is if you aspire to be a sports agent or the general manager of a professional sports team or a great sports marketer like Vince, you have to know everything that those people know. And you can learn those things. Some of them are going to happen through experience, but there have been plenty of books written and lessons that people have put out there that have come before you. And any problem that you are ever facing, somebody has likely faced that problem at some point in history. And all you have to do is open a book and find the answer. Mm-hmm. To that part, there's two parts to act as if. The second part is act as if you have all the answers. And what that means is that when you sit across from somebody and have a conversation with them, even if it's for example, you're interviewing for an internship or a job, when you're interviewing for a job, the person that you're interviewing for, the company you're interviewing for, they have a problem. They have a job that they need to fill. They have a role that they need to have somebody in. And so your job is to figure out how you position yourself as having the answer to their problems. And it doesn't matter whether or not you actually have the answer to their problems. All you have to do is figure out how to act as though you have the answer to all their problems. When I got into this business, I made all sorts of promises to my clients, which I eventually delivered on. But the key for me was I had to get into the door. I had to convince somebody that I was going to be able to work for them. And so one of the things that I told them was, you know, from a marketing perspective, for example, I charge my clients 20% on marketing deals. I told them, right now you're making 100% of nothing. Right, how about right. I make you 80% on something? And so the way that I got clients initially was that I would say, you don't have to sign anything with me. Let me bring you a deal first. And if I bring you a deal first, then my agreement would be, if I can make you any amount of money, then I would, you would sign with me. And so guess what I did? I went out there and I got them deals. But here's a secret. Sometimes I couldn't get guys deals. So you know what I did? I went to brands and local, primarily local brands, and I paid for the deals myself. I subsidized the deals.
Brilliant.
So that I can get the clients, so that I can then follow up and continuously create value for those individuals and build a relationship with them. So I figured out any which way that I could to build my book of business. And I'm very proud, and I don't mind being open with the tactics that I used early on, because in the 15 years that I've been doing this, I've never had a client leave me. I think you could pick up the phone and call anyone that I represent, and they'll tell you how happy they are with the work that I've done for them. Because at the end of the day, I figured out how to deliver and solve people's problems. And one of the ways you do that is by figuring out how to create value for them and understand what their problems are, and then go out and figure out how you can help them.
Well, I had a brilliant story, very, very brilliant story. And you just hit on something that's going to be, that's going to resonate with all of our kids this summer, is how do you create and bring value to that organization, that employer, or that problem, or that process, or that system? And I've tried, Jay, I try to explain this to the kids, is that I'll get a, what I'll call a naked solicitation from our generic email address for a career. And it'll go, I'm, you know, Joe Smith, Jill Smith, attached is my resume for your consideration, and I need to, you know, I need to make a dollar. And I immediately flush it, as opposed to saying, dear Mr. Thompson, War Eagle, congrats on your success. I believe I bring value to organization because of X, Y, and Z. Of course, I'm going to open that up. Of course, I'm going to move them to the head of the class or the head of the line in the job consideration set, because they're communicating to me everything's a constant audition, as you've so eloquently stated. So what we want to get kids across to kids this summer is that this is going to be, and now with post-COVID world and jobs being, you know, fewer jobs and more people seeking fewer jobs and more qualified and all that, talk about really what gets your attention from that perspective of kids that are trying to rise above all the competition in the marketplace.
Sure. So I'm going to break it up into two things. First of all, is getting somebody's attention enough for you to engage with them in a way that you can show value. The second part, the value, is more important than anything else, but sometimes it's very hard to get people's attention. A story that I like to talk about is one that I did. It wasn't for me, it was for my college roommate back at Rutgers. When we were in school, my college roommate, who has now gone on to become a very, very successful investment banker, was interested in getting an internship at HBO in their finance department. And my roommate had sent in all of his resumes. He had emailed the person. LinkedIn was still very early on in its infancy, but he had done everything he could to get to this one person that was a decision maker and was not having success. So I said, let's do this. Let's go to New York. Let's go to the offices at HBO. We're going to go around the corner and we're going to order a whole bunch of pizzas. And we're going to send it to the guy, and we're going to put your resume in the box. So when he opens it, the first thing that he sees is your resume. And we're going to include a note that says that you are downstairs, here's your cell phone number, and you want this opportunity to interview for the job. Guess what? It worked. And we went to New York. We ordered like three pizzas. We sent it up to his office. Guy gets it. Opens a resume, sees the note, calls my friend. We're sitting in the pizzeria around the corner in Manhattan, and he goes up. Half an hour later, he has an internship with this guy. And listen, you don't have to send people pizzas, but you have to figure out how to get their attention. And one of the best ways to get people's attention is, I'm going to go back to it, solve people's problems. I get at least one or two resumes a day. Doesn't sound like a lot, but you think about over the course of a month, we're talking about 30 to 60 people a month are emailing me or sending me notes asking for an opportunity. And I maybe have two interns, three interns a semester. So you have maybe a 1 in 100 chance of landing an opportunity with me. The people that get the opportunities are the ones that take the time, not just to research me, because quite frankly, doing research on me does not show me a lot of effort. Because if you just type my name into Google, you're going to find a lot about me. So it's not hard to look up my bio and know who I am. Mm-hmm. That's like the bare minimum. What I want to see is somebody coming to me with a solution, or at least an attempt to figure out, what is Jason working on right now that I can help him? Well, he's an agent that represents coaches. Maybe I can introduce him to somebody. Maybe I can do a research project on that space and send it to him and say, hey, I thought this could be helpful for you. And if you like what you see, I'd love to talk to you about maybe coming and working for you. Same thing on Athletic Directory. I run a media platform. We produce content. We're always looking for interesting stories and ideas. And so often I'll get, rarely, but every so often I'll get an email from a journalism student who will reach out and say, I love what you're doing. I love the uniqueness of Athletic Director U. Here's a story that I've been working on, a research project that I think would be valuable for your readers. Are you interested? And can we have a conversation? Absolutely. And you contrast that against the average college student that Vince just talked about a minute ago that sends an email and says, hi, my name is Jason, and I'm a rising senior at the University of Georgia, and you should give me an internship because I haven't done anything to show you that I deserve one, which is most people.
Right.
And so you have to figure out how to create value for someone, or at least show effort, because I get it. Listen, you're 20 years old, you're 21 years old. You're not going to intimately know what I'm working on. But if you can at least show me that you have the hustle to try to understand what I'm doing, that is enough for me to at least engage and consider you for an opportunity and give you a chance at doing something with me.
Well, you just hit on the word too, by the way, effort. It all starts with effort. And we have a saying here at Melt U, it's only as important as you make it. So that ties back in to what you're talking about, effort. And because you're sending that signal by soliciting a story or bringing a client to you or saying how you add value, it all boils down to that simple, it's only as important as you make it. And so, Jay, I want to dive in with time that we have left in something, a subject matter is very passionate to you, very passionate to me, and where we think and where I think community career opportunities will lie is the issue of name, image, and likeness among student athletes and listeners and Melt University students. I and Jason and I encourage you to learn everything you can about the history of this issue, what's going on with the issue, how it's going to impact the future of college athletics, and how this could influence your job and your career pursuits and opportunities. So, Jay, talk a little bit about how name, image, and likeness is going to impact in positive ways the future of college sports.
Sure. So name, image, and likeness, while we still don't know officially what everything is going to look like, it is likely going to open up a new frontier in the world of sports marketing. And it is going to give people, particularly college students, not student athletes, but college students that are interested in working in sports, a really amazing opportunity, because you guys are going to be on the front lines of creating value for your classmates, the student athletes. And I remember, even when I was in school as a student athlete and engaging with other individuals, how often I looked at it and said, hey, I wish that I can try to be an agent for some of my classmates and bring them unique opportunities. And back then, obviously, it wasn't allowed, but soon it will be. Name, image, and likeness is hopefully going to allow student athletes to monetize their brands, and they are going to be looking for opportunities and people that are going to be able to engage with them. And so if you are interested in working in the sports industry, or quite frankly in any industry, you're going to have a chance to work with a brand and that athlete. And I want to just step away for a second, because I think there's a valuable thing to mention here. Part of why I've been able to be successful is that I have associated myself with strong brands, things like Rutgers University as a professor, Forbes magazine as a journalist. And so one of the easiest ways to elevate your name is to associate your brand with somebody else's. And so if you're a college student right now and NIL comes along and you have a relationship that you've built with a student athlete at your institution who has a bigger brand than yours, and you figure out how to create value for that person, not only are you going to be able to monetize that, right? You're going to be able to make some money for yourself and that individual, but you're going to be able to elevate your brand. And that person is going to endorse you as somebody that other individuals should have a conversation with. And so there has never been a better time with NIL around the corner and over 400,000 student athletes in the NCAA realm, including tens of thousands that are going to be able to make significant amounts of money to prepare yourself to be able to help those individuals. And you can start doing that now. While NIL will not be in effect until 21-22, that gives you a full 12 months to think about how you're going to go do and build relationships with people that are going to be valuable for those student athletes. Who are the local brands that are going to be interested in sponsoring the basketball and football players at your institution? Who do you need to know in the university community to be able to get in front of those individuals so that a year from now, you are the person that is going to be the gatekeeper, not only for those people, but all the people that are going to want to talk to those people. You're interested in working in sports. It's not about being an agent. Maybe you want to go work for a brand. Well, guess what? If you go build a relationship with the top 10 best athletes at your university, and then Vince comes calling and says, hey, I got a deal for Coca-Cola and I need to get in touch with these kids, and you're the person, well, heck, you just got to have a nice introduction to Vince, you got a nice introduction to Coca-Cola, or anybody else that's interested in engaging with those people. Right. And it's going to be a lot easier for you to do it because you live down the hall in the dorm with those kids. And nobody else is going to have that type of access.
That's priceless, priceless info. And so parting shot, Jay, as we wrap this this invaluable, valuable session, a couple of other favorite books or podcasts that you would recommend to our students or resources that they continue to immerse themselves in as they pursue a career in sports and the event business and those types of things. Any recommendations?
Sure. So my favorite book ever in this, well, there's two of them. So one is called Never Eat Alone. It's by Keith Ferrazzi. And it's the first book that I really read out of college about networking or building relationships. And it is my Bible in terms of knowing how to go about creating value for people. It's as good of a book today as it was 15 years ago when I read it. And so I highly, highly recommend it, Never Eat Alone. And then the other book is by Seth Godin, who is my favorite author of all time. And it's called Linchpin. And it is literally about how you become the most valuable person in other people's lives. Mm-hmm. And those two things, I think, are at least at the core of what I do, building relationships and being valuable to people. When you combine those two things, there is nothing that you cannot accomplish in any industry, sports or anything else.
Well, that is invaluable. And Jason, I cannot thank you enough for your time, wisdom, and valuable insight today. I mean, guys, I want you to listen to this podcast. I want you to re-listen it. I want you to feel comfortable about reaching out to Jay. Like I said, he's going to be a big-time rising star. He is a big-time rising star. It's going to be on the scene for a long time. He and I've got some exciting things coming together that will probably create some other opportunities for our future internship programs. But Jason Belzer, global sports business leader, president of GAME, co-founder and publisher of Athletic Director U, the best dressed man in the sports marketing industry. We really appreciate your time and sharing your wisdom and insight with the students of Virtual Melt University Summer 2020. Thank you so much, Jason.
Thank you for having me, Vince. I enjoy the conversation.
Thanks, Vince. Hope you enjoyed today's virtual class. We'll be back soon with another edition of Melt University 2020.